Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode. I can't believe I'm saying this. We have nearly sold out all five of the Behind the Glass live events we announced last week.
I know.
I mean, you people are amazing. I mean, you're sort of crazy. I don't know what you're doing, but we're very grateful for the support, for the excitement, for the fact that you're buying tickets to come and see us. If you missed the big announcement last week, we have revealed the initial dates for this year's live podcast events. Yes, we are hoping or planning to do one or two, maybe even three more events this year. Who knows? But for now, we've announced five, one in June, one in July, one in August, one in September, one in October. All the information can be found on seenthroughglass.online. Go to the event section. There's a couple of events happening here at STGHQ, Duke of London. Tony is going to be hosting us at Gravelwood Car Sales in July. Look at that. We are going up to Alexander's Prestige in Yorkshire, but that event is sold out completely.
Yeah.
We're going to Podium Place in Newbury. It's going to be amazing. There are literally, I mean, like, handfuls of tickets left for basically most events except October. October's like looking pretty healthy. I mean, we've sold over half. So there's not loads of tickets left.
October's here.
October's back here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a while away, mate. And because of the demand as well, I think we probably got to go back up north because...
Yeah. Clearly, we've got a lot of you who are up north who want to attend events here in the UK, and that we've seen that. So we'll work hard to try and add a date or two that's up north.
Yeah.
Maybe even as far as Scotland. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could we do one in Ireland?
Well, mate, do you remember when we done that trip?
That was
in
amazing,
Ireland?
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let us know the demand. Comment below if you want.
Ireland would be a bad
chat. Send us a DM. That could be fun, couldn't it? But yeah, we can't wait. We're foaming at the bit to get these live events up and running. We've got some cool, fun surprises planned. Let us know, by the way, if there are specific topics you think would be fun to do in a live environment that you can all get involved in. We've had such glorious moments as Tony slagging off the McLaren F1 in front of 150 people and us having arguments about God knows what in front of rooms of people.
Me going in on all your cars.
Yeah. Well, of course, we're doing the Rate My Ride section, of course, seeing what everyone turns up in. I already know a couple of things coming that you are going to have fun with. So yeah, one more shout out. We've got to do that shout out. Seenthroughglass.online. Go to the event section. A few tickets remaining for those initial events. Well, four out of the five events that we did announce. Anyway, you know what? Today's going to be a very laid back episode, mate. We got our coffees. It's a relatively early start because I'm headed to the airport in a second. We'll touch on that again in a moment. Uh-huh. But you know, I just want to catch up. I want to see what's going on with you. I know we've both had nice car related weekends.
We've both been out and about. Yeah.
I feel quite happy about life today, you know?
Lovely day.
Sun is shining. There seems to be some cool car stuff happening. I feel sort of positive about automotive life. And
yeah
so I'm going to sit here and sip on my coffee. That's a tongue twister. Sit and sip.
It's not really
sip.
That difficult, mate.
Go on, you sit.
Sit and sip.
All right. Show off.
And I'm not even privately educated. I mean, I'm not educated at all.
No, full stop. And I want to hear, how was your weekend? Because I know on Sunday, you went up to Caffeine and Machine.
On Sunday, I went up to Caffeine and Machine. Yeah, went up with Supercar Driver. I thought I'd have a run out in my car. So I had a run out in my car. It was a nice day yesterday, especially lunchtime when the weather broke. Mm-hmm. So
Sun came out.
Yeah, it came out quicker in London. And then as you head a bit further, it was a bit cloudy, but it was still warm. And it was lovely on the way back. And goes to Caffeine Machine. I like that place.
Have you been before? I've been before
a couple of times before, but I like the concept of it.
I love the concept of it.
Yeah.
And I like it. I think it's become better through COVID, weirdly. They've implemented a few things. You order the food with the app and stuff like that. And
you can stay there as well as a hotel.
I know. I remember there. When Phil was building the rooms and he took me on a tour before he'd opened them all up. They were sort of slightly subtly themed around car brands.
Oh, do you know the guy?
Yeah, Phil. Oh. I mean, what a hero to build what he has built.
He's just got another one.
Yeah, he's. I don't know if we're supposed to...
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Phil. Anyway. moving on quickly. We haven't signed any embargo, so I'll leave that in for now. But let's not say anything else.
But it's quite common knowledge though, mate.
Probably. I don't know. I don't want to land a minute. Okay. It's got a bit of a vibe about it, doesn't it?
It's got a theme. It's like, you know what it is, although it doesn't smell of petrol. It's like walking into a garage and you smell petrol. Mm. It doesn't smell of petrol in there, but it's just got that nice car aura about it everywhere. And you have a nice coffee, and I had a bacon and an egg roll yesterday, which was lovely, by the way. It honestly, mate, the roll was really, like, it was just a nice bacon and egg roll. So he's smashing it, to be fair. So
you feel like you're sort of amongst friends, don't you? When you turn up there, you're just like, yes. Yeah. I feel like we're going to appreciate each other.
Which is rare for me because I don't like anyone.
I don't like anyone either, no. And you don't have any friends.
Schmee was there.
Was he?
He turned up. Yeah.
Oh, what was he doing?
Well, there was a bit of a full GT theme there.
Owner's club.
But yeah. I mean, there was a... I mean, I've never seen so many.
The new one or just both. Any 4GT?
There was both there.
Okay, so the 2006 car, was it?
Yeah, was it 4 to 6 or something?
Something like
2004
that.
2004 to 6, anyway, the old one. And then the newer one. And I passed, I knew that there must have been some sort of event going on. I didn't actually know it was at Caffeine Machine. But on the way up, I saw two.
Oh, wow. And I mean,
you don't see them. No. So I knew that there was some sort of event going on. Yeah. And as I'm driving up the M40 coming from London on the way up, in the distance was this sort of black car. And I thought, what is that? Like, from a distance, it was about a mile away. And I could just see this big wing. And originally, like, from real far back, I thought, oh, is that a P1 or something?
Mm.
And then as I got closer, because you don't see many, you really don't see many on the road. Obviously, I've seen Tim's car in the flesh before, but in general, I've not seen many of them at all. I thought, oh, flipping out, it's a full GT, and the wing was up, and it was low down, and it was just cruising up the motorway. And I thought, flipping out, it's got some road presence, that car.
Unbelievable. And when was that launched? Was it 2016?
Yeah, I mean, it still looks like a spaceship.
Mate, it looks it looks more modern than most other supercars.
Yeah.
2017 it was launched.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it's unbelievable. The road presence. Sorry, go on.
But then when I got there and I started to see a few of them, there was probably, there was definitely 10. I didn't count.
And that must be the UK allocation, isn't it?
Well, they reckon there's 16 in the UK.
Wow. Awkward for the six people who didn't turn up.
Yeah.
Do you know exactly who they are?
But it must have been some sort of own. Tim obviously knew everyone.
They knew him.
Yeah. He gets out and he's mobbed straight away by all of them. But, and the older shape ones are cool as well. And
I actually prefer them.
Yeah, I mean, they're not as modern and, but yeah.
It's not your kind of thing, but.
No, but I like them, mate, the old one.
Yeah.
I like the old full GT, I like the way it looks.
So apart from the way the new one looks, because I actually think if you didn't, before you'd kind of figured out what it is, I think you could mistake the new 4 GT for a Valkyrie if you were coming up miles away.
Possibly.
I think the Valkyrie will be smaller, but.
Yeah.
Does look mad on the road, but apart from that kind of initial, like, wow, that thing looks like a spaceship. How do you feel about Ford GT?
Oh, just whatever.
Whatever?
Just a Ford. Like, I might be being derogatory, but I can't get my head around the values of them. No, for a start.
Mm.
And as a used car, you know, they're like, what are they?
They're still trading at
650.
Yeah, at least a third over. Mm. You know, I think 30 to 40% over their list.
Yeah. So, I mean, fair if that's what they are, that's what they're trading for, that's what they're worth. But I wouldn't.
16 in the UK. I mean, it's a rare thing.
It's a very rare car. Yeah.
And you know what? There's a definite excitement about that. Like I would be excited if I saw one. If a friend said I'm bringing a 4 GT along, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
But I drove one. Wow, my words today.
What's happened to you?
I don't know. Am I having a stroke? Can you keep an army? Do you remember that advert? Act fast. Has their face fallen to one side? Arms slumped by their side. So yeah, can you just keep an army?
Yeah,
I drove one and I was inherently a little disappointed, maybe because I just jumped out of a super performance replica of a 60s Ford GT, which is right up my street.
Yeah.
GT40, I should say. It really reminded me of a McLaren 675 LT.
Did it?
It had a very similar dynamic feel in terms of the sort of acceleration performance, the braking, the sound, and that kind of weird, you know, that sort of super, you know, LTs and McLarens in general, really flat, almost too flat.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
And 4GT felt the same way.
Right.
You know, it's just uber, uber flat.
Did it feel special to drive or?
No, that was the disappointment.
Right, okay, it's a shame.
Like a really cool thing and driving it, actually that's a lie. Did it feel special to drive in? Yes. Did it feel special to drive hard? No. Do you know what I mean? It didn't feel different to anything else. It didn't blow my soul. I was just like, okay, this is a familiar kind of speed.
Not like a Ferrari.
Right,
okay.
There's
nothing like Ferrari anyway, but
the cabin is tiny. Is hashtag it? Because race car. I mean, you're sitting on top of the passenger seat. Yeah.
It's a race car.
It's a homologation race car, yeah. Basically.
Yeah,
and that's cool in its own right. But yeah, to drive dynamically, I was like, you know, sure. But
would I like it to drive?
You know what? I don't know,
right.
And I know you well, and I know what you like to drive. I think you probably would, to be fair.
Mm.
Would you want one? I don't think you would.
Right.
But I think you would like to drive one hard.
Would I prefer it over a GT2 or a Pista or something like that?
I doubt it.
Right.
Because you do like either a car to be perfect or to have a little bit of a feeling of, you know.
No, they've all got to have a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've all got to have a feeling, yeah.
I don't know, actually, you know what? I really don't know. It's not a car that I often think back, oh, I'd love to have another go in one of those.
Okay, fair.
And I don't rate it like on one of my top driving experiences. But it is a cool thing. But yeah, I mean, like how Schmee did that trip in his across, I know he's trucked his car a lot. He sort of transported it a lot across the US, but he did do a lot of miles in it. It's not a car I'd want to spend a lot of time in.
You can't get comfortable in it, you mean?
The seats aren't comfortable.
You're a lot taller than Tim though.
Fair. But it's tight, it's narrow, it's bumpy and I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there are about 10 of them there. Old ones too, which as I say, I think are just inherently cooler.
Yeah.
What else was going on? It was just a 4GT meet? What was the supercar driver bit?
Yeah, there were some Porsches there and I had, at 12 o'clock, a load of GT cars were supposed to be turning up, similar theme. I'd left by then because, okay. I mean, I've seen...
Still want to spend any money?
No. Yeah, I've seen all the GT cars I want to see, you know? So there was some other cool cars there as well. There was an old... I don't even know what it was. I think it was an old... It looked like one of them XJ220s.
Okay.
But like a race car spec thing.
Not green with silver wheels?
No, it was blue. It could have been an old Aston as well, but... I mean, I don't really know, mate, because I don't really pay much attention to him, you know?
You know, I'm going to have a quick look on Freddie's page, TFJJ, because he was there over the weekend, and he may have taken a photo of it.
He might have took a photo of it, yeah. But there was some cool stuff, but I don't really go to many meets anymore because it's always the same cars in general. The reason why I went yesterday is because Cavern and Machine is quite a cool place to go to in general, and I had nothing to do in the morning yesterday morning, and I fancied a run out in my car, so
it was nice weather
and yeah, I just fancied having a drive. But in general I don't really do car meets anymore.
Can you see that? Was it that car?
Yeah,
it's an XJR15, I think.
Yeah, that was there, yeah. I parked next to it.
I'm pretty sure it's an XJR15.
Nice car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very cool car. Sounds the bomb.
Yeah, I didn't. No, it was static. I didn't.
I knew Freddie would have got a picture. What a legend.
Well done, boy.
I'm the same as you, though. So I went to my first, like, just casual car meet for a long time on Saturday. Mm. I went to the Tiger Club, which is run, I think, wholly, I'm going to say, in
is that
part,
good?
I think that's wrong. Yeah, so it's run by George Bamford from Bamford Watch Department and Bamford Automotive
Where
Department.
Is it?
Usually starts at Daylesford in the Cotswolds.
Nice.
And then they usually go and do drive outs from there. Always an unbelievably eclectic mix of cars.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of, I think it started just with a sort of his friends. I think it's, and it's sort of grown from there, friends. Yeah. So everyone kind of knows each other. I guess the potential criticism you could say is that it would become clicky, but I actually don't think it is, because every time I go, there's different people, I meet new people. And
fair enough.
Very nice. But yeah, this Saturday we had 250 California Spider Ferrari, which now it could be real given that group, but it might have been a rebody. I think it was a 250 something rebodied, I think.
I mean, you are full on talking to the wrong person.
Okay,
I mean,
well, anyway.
I don't know it, what a rebody, oh, I mean.
Let me just have a quick
look. I know what a 250 GTO is, but
it could have been the Chris Evans car, actually, because it was white. Oh, yeah, no, I think it was probably the real deal. I'm just looking here now. Sounds like it'd probably be the real
really?
Deal.
Really?
Yeah.
is that a proper bit of kit?
I mean, mate, that's all the money.
What is it, 30 million, that car?
Probably.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's a price on here. Something of that ilk. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, they're one of the most desirable ones.
Yeah.
Every now and again, Joe McCarry's has them.
Does he?
Yeah. So only 36 250 GTOs, but how many Cali Spiders? Still 960, but in that time frame, 54 Spiders were built in total.
How many written off?
Oh, God, all of them, I'm sure.
How many left now?
Let's see here. 305, and it was hand. There was something. Okay, well, anyway, it was there.
And there's not many of them.
There's not many of them.
That's that.
It was unbelievable to see. Plenty of other cool stuff, though. Someone turned up in a DBX 707, which I have to say I didn't realise was a 707 until they pointed it out.
Did you really?
Yeah, I mean.
Looks the same as the other
one. I know Paul was like, oh, it's got so much stance. It looks amazing. Yeah. I genuinely didn't notice that it was a 707. Yeah, okay. But the guy who drove it, admittedly an Aston employee.
So weren't a customer car?
Weren't a customer car, factory car. But this guy's a super nice, proper guy, handles all the VIP sales for Aston, proper legend, top hero.
Yeah.
Got a lot of history with the brand. He adored it for its dynamics, which again is what Paul said after his drive, that dynamically it's
but the regular one's dynamically good, mate.
Yeah, so I'm sure that 707 thing is cool. What else turned up? A Daytona Competizione was very, very cool. So a lot of good old Ferraris. I'm trying to think what was up your street.
I like the Daytona.
Oh, mate, I love the Daytona.
Yeah.
Apparently not great to drive, though.
Who cares?
Mm.
Who cares, mate?
I think you would.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, given your experience in the 964 RS.
Yeah.
I think you would.
Yeah, but 964 RS isn't a Daytona.
No.
I mean,
in a good way or a bad way.
No.
Or a Daytona's not a 964 RS.
No, in a bad way, the 964 is not a.
Would you have a Daytona or a 275?
Oh, the 275, because of value.
Okay. Would you have a Daytona or. What else that
here? How much is a Daytona? 3 million quid? 2 million quid?
No! Daytonas are like hundreds of grand.
No, they're not, are they?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I think Daytona's like 700 grand, something like that.
Well, it's nearly a million.
For the cheapest one on the market's 500 grand.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought there'd be more than that.
You can get like super rare plexiglass, whatever. But yeah, there you go. There's a 60,000 mile one at Bell Sport and Classic, I think.
Well, that's a lot of miles.
But it's an old car. It's from 1971.
Yeah, but flipping it was 60,000
miles. Mate, do not start on this. Okay, so if a 250 GTO came up for auction and you were interested because of value, but it had 80,000 miles, you're going to go, oh no, a bit leggy for me. I'll wait for the delivery mileage one.
Yeah.
You're a prick.
I'll pay the money.
You're a prick.
Because
you'd have a delivery mileage 250 GTO.
What, if I could afford it? Yeah. And sit and look at it like the rest of people do.
No, people take it
We've had this conversation before. You've got to have the best example.
Goodwood. People take it to Goodwood. And
they don't drive it there, though.
Yeah, they do.
It goes on a trailer. No, if it's delivery miles, they can't drive it there.
No, but who wants a delivery mile? Mate, when you get into classics, like 60s and 70s cars, you cannot look at mileage. Here's another one. 529,000 at the Legends that is Furlonger. 53,000 miles. Mate.
It's too many miles, mate. How much is that car?
Hold on. You're an absolute plonker. What year is it? 2022.
How much is that car, mate?
530,000.
Too much money, mate.
No, it's not.
60,000 miles. That's done more miles than me.
It's 53,000 miles. It's done 1,000 miles a year. 1,000 miles a year.
Yeah, but...
No, come on.
No.
You're being stupid.
No.
Mate, when you get into this really old stuff, you cannot look at miles. Because also they go through endless engine rebuilds and all these different things. Like, mileage does not matter.
You're only saying that because you're trying to put 50,000 miles on your car this year.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to sell it, so I don't care.
Well, that's good.
It's also not worth £500,000. So yeah, so that was very cool. But let's think of things that were kind of a bit more up your street. There was a very nice GT Silver 911 GT3 Touring, the last shape.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
A very cool couple that appeared in a classic black 911 Targa and a brand new, oh no, no, a 991.2 all black Targa, which was nice. Actually, not much modern stuff. I'm trying to think what else was there that was modern. It was a lot of old stuff. You wouldn't have been that happy.
No.
There was the old shape 4GT, but anyway.
Yeah, I would have been. Listen, I like to look at them.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't like to live and drive one.
No, fair enough. But
no, but I do like having a look around them.
And as a car meet, that's the kind of best part about it, right?
Yeah.
Is when there's an eclectic mix and things that you don't often see and things that you wouldn't necessarily think about owning or living or wanting to drive to the meet in, but then you're there, you're like, oh yeah, cool. Mm. And that was so nice because it's been ages because of COVID, because of Drive the World, because a lot of reasons. I've just been to a car meet, like to go for a nice drive,
yeah,
hang out with some people, chat some cars. And it's not something that I think actually happens in the UK all that often in a casual sense.
I think if you wanted to, especially this time of year, you could go to a car meet every weekend.
I agree.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
If you wanted to. I change my statement and I make it a little bit more niche and a little bit more nice eclectic expensive car meets. That's such a dickhead thing to say.
Yeah. What?
So in West
Cotswolds,
nice locations where coffees cost £8.50. In West Coast America, mainly California,
yeah,
the car culture I think is the best in the world.
Okay, fair.
Because every single Sunday. And sometimes every single Saturday, every single weekend, there are car meets that happen in the same place, in the same timings. And 500 cars turn up. And it ranges from road-legal P1 GTR to Lafferpurter to modified Beetle to Hot Rod, whatever.
They all
park next to each other and everyone hangs out and everyone chats.
Yeah.
And it's fully eclectic.
Yeah.
My issue with the UK tends to often be that There are groups, there are cliques. So you've got the 4GT Owners Club.
Mm.
Then you've got the JDM meet. Then you've got, oh, we're doing bagged car meet. Then we're doing the drifter meet. Then we're doing the supercar meet. And it's very rare that it feels like a lot of different groups or cars come together.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, and what I find with car meets as well, which is why I don't go to many anymore, is that, like, it's the same cars all the time. You know, you see the same cars because of that. Because it's like supercar meet or JDM. I mean, I wouldn't go to
Porsche
a JDM.
Porsche GT meet.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to a JDM meet because it doesn't interest me at all, you know? So,
Well, you wouldn't know what you're looking at.
No, I know exactly what I'm looking at, but I mean, it's my era, mate. Subarus,
I'm winding you up.
Evos and old Skylines and Nissan Pulsars and
stuff. Probably worth more than most of the supercar meets these days.
Some of them are worth a fortune, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that it wouldn't really interest me. Like it's like the Ford meets. You know, people go mad for these Ford meets. So there's an annual one at Silverstone all the time, and
endless clubs. You're right,
clubs as well.
But
yeah,
if you've been to one in the UK, chances are the second and third you go are going to be the exact same car
for sure.
So it can become quite repetitive. And as I say, because it's these clusters, these groups, rather than these kind of generic. This is a cars and coffee and anyone is welcome as a petrol head. Come hang out. We're all interested in each other's cars. Because to be fair, if on Saturday I had arrived and someone was there in an original Skyline or even in a highly modified Focus RS, I probably would have gone over and be like, oh, what's going on here? Tell me about it. Like I'd been super interested, but instead I have to go over to that specific meet where I'm going to be slightly unwelcome because I'm going to stand out in my F-Type. Hello.
Hello.
Clean and tan. Do you do oat milk flat whites? And so that's, you know.
Do you have any banana bread?
Yeah, literally. Oh, that was so good this morning. Well, I think I got some banana bread left over
there.
Good. Got distracted. But yeah, so that's why I enjoyed Tiger Club because it was just that it felt relaxed. I turned up not knowing what I would see. I was surprised by a lot of the stuff. It was eclectic. There was a guy parked next to me with a beautiful 996 Carrera 4 silver with a red interior, like a burgundy interior. Mm. So everything, anyone was kind of welcome, people in old Land Rovers and whatever. And I got the sense that maybe that's kind of the Cafe in the Machine. I think that's what Cafe in the Machine do well.
Correct.
Is you never really know what you're going to see there.
Oh, there's a group of Volkswagens there. There's a group of old Volkswagens in a line as well. So like some old Mark 1 GTIs and Mark 2 GTIs and stuff. And even going back to our live events, mate, we have a mixture of stuff come at our live events.
I didn't want to blow smoke up our own arse.
No, but we do, mate.
But genuinely,
yeah.
If maybe we can make something out of this, maybe we're just revealing all of our incredible business ideas to the public without, maybe we should have had this discussion off air. But that is what I think we capture so well, or always captured so well at our events, is that, you know, you as our amazing audience have an eclectic range of cars, as we see in the Rate My Rides episode, which, by the way, we've got coming up. More details on how to submit your
cars. And they're all, you're all welcome as well. Like, yeah, anyone's welcome.
But we have everything from you know, real beaten up old pieces of crap that Tony loves to rip apart, right through to people with Huayras and P1. Like,
yeah.
And when we do these meets, it's brilliant. See, and actually, to be fair, Duke of London with their classics and cake, it's the same thing. And I think actually what I'm saying is, as a British or a UK car scene, let's try and be more inclusive and also meet each other more. Because even at Cafe in the Machine, which is brilliant, still the Volkswagen guys sit with the Volkswagen
they
guys
do.
And the supercar guys sit with the supercar guys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just want to encourage more of that West Coast mentality. Because if you've never been to the LA car scene and been to one of those meetings, it's so invigorating and exciting and brilliant and fun, and everyone just is just there because they love cars, and you learn something. And it's why I love listening to some of the US auto podcast.
Yeah,
it's just a genuine passion for cars. And sometimes they're like, I don't know what that is. It was like mad. It was insane. But they're kind of just cool and intrigued.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So yeah, look, if you're coming to one of our events, we're excited to have you. We're intrigued to see what cars you've got. We'll try and showcase that kind of situation for you that won't be able to make the live events. Ben is going to come down and help film
good
the live event. So he's going to be here capturing the cars in the car park, those that don't make it into the Rate My Ride sections. But yeah, anyway, that's why I'm saying I'm feeling buoyed this morning because I've had a great weekend. There seems to be lots of car meets that happened. I saw photos everywhere. You went to a car meet. I went to a car meet. I've had a coffee. I've had a banana bread. Yep. Now I teased it just then. Rate My Ride. Next week, we're doing a double episode because I'm then off to Tenerife in the 360. Oi, oi, cheeky.
Oh.
And then I'm actually headed to Canada, a trip I teased a while ago.
Oh, wow.
But I'm headed to Canada. So I'm away for a few weeks. Mm. So we're having to do a double recording.
Double whammy.
Double whammy. So we'll do one sort of car news style, I guess, or just talking about whatever's on our mind. But we also want to do a Rate My Rides. So if you want to submit your car for a Rate My Rides episode, you need to email btg@seenthroughglass.com. btg@seenthroughglass.com. This is the most important part. In the subject line, you put Rate My Ride.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And then the name and the make and the model of the car. So for me, it'd be Rate My Ride, Jaguar F-Type R. And then literally all you have to do is put in a photo. If you want to add some text, fine. But often we get like four paragraphs.
Hundreds of entries as well.
Well, we get the entries is insane. Yeah. But we also can't go into the in-depth history of each.
No.
So really all we need is the email with the subject line, rate my ride, the make and model of the car, and a photo.
Yeah.
If you feel like you have to explain something, let's say your car looks stock, but it's actually got 4,000 horsepower, you can put brackets, has 4,000 horsepower. Yeah. But yeah, that's all we need. btg@seenthroughglass.com, subject line, rate my ride, make and model, and we should be recording that next week.
And what that does is when you put that just gives me a bit more ammunition for me to full on get you.
Yeah, yeah. If you put added lines in the email, it's encouraging Tony to rip those lines apart. You're asking for trouble. Yeah, yeah. Absolute disaster. Super annoyingly, I literally was about to move on to my next topic and it's evaded my... I'm having a stroke again. Am I okay?
I mean, you look the same, but you never look okay.
No, I never look okay. Should we talk about where I'm flying this afternoon?
Yeah, go on. Where are you going? Isn't it? Well, I know where you're going, but I've got to ask for the audience.
Well done. I've trained you well. So I'm getting on a flight to Germany to then drive into France because Bugatti... actual real Bugatti have said, hey Sam, love to invite you to the factory, have a little tour, have a bit of a customer experience, and then drive a Chiron Supersport.
I mean, that's incredible.
I mean, I replied to the email about 30 seconds. Usually I like to play hard to get when these manufacturers email, hi Sam, we've got a new, I don't know what. And I'm like,
would you leave it 10 minutes?
Yeah, half a day. I'll check my diary.
You're really busy.
Like, who else is going? Is there an embargo? This, I was like, yep.
Yeah, I'm in.
I don't care who else is going. I don't care if there's an embargo. I will be there because I've actually never formally worked with Bugatti.
All right.
I did do a very good video with them, Florida dealership during Drive the World. And I think they were aware of it, but I've never had a direct correspondence with them. So I'm flattered that they've got in touch. One of those brands, I mean, they're pinnacle of hypercar brands, I think. Like, that's one of them. Surely Bugatti is one of the biggest brand names for petrol heads.
Not Ferrari.
For petrol, I think one of the biggest is what I said. Because I think if you're not a car person, you know Ferrari. I don't like, would my dad, and my dad would know Bugatti.
Of course he would.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's one of, I mean, it's one of the most iconic names in cars, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I don't think it's as iconic as Ferrari. But
No, but that's why I said one of. Don't try and start a fight with me.
Would you rather a special hypercar Ferrari or a Bugatti?
What's a question? See, what
if he was offered either the two and you had the money?
What is the super hypercar from Ferrari? Because what I love about the Chiron, yes, but okay. So, would I have a Chiron or a Laugh?
You dare? Don't you dare? Are you joking?
I'd have the Chiron.
Are you well? No. I mean, the Chiron is a masterpiece, and I'd love to drive one. And I bet it's something you've ever, never driven. And I can't wait to hear what you think when you come back. But the Laugh, mate, flipping hell! I mean,
you drove a Laugh, didn't you? Did you drive a coupe?
No, it's Enzo.
Oh, you drove the Enzo,
yeah.
So here's my one thing about Laugh. Now, don't get me wrong. There's very few scenarios where, if I was in this situation, I would struggle. I would bore you for about 6 months.
Because they're probably similar money, no? Oh, no.
No.
Bugatti's more.
Yeah,
it's more money.
Because Laugh's now, what, two and a half for the coupes? Or two, I'd say, for a Laugh.
Yeah,
coupe.
But new, they're £1 million if you go new.
Yeah, Chiron's are 2.3, aren't they?
Yeah.
Spectre.
I'd be interested to know your thoughts, but... like, is a Chiron not just a big Bentley?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
But this is the biggest problem with the Laugh. It's a big 458. So, don't get me wrong.
But a 458's more interesting than a Bentley, mate.
Okay, so...
we've
got so much to talk about.
This could go on.
This really will. My biggest thing with the Laugh is it's a Laugh Ferrari. I'd have one in a heartbeat. I'd probably have an Aperta. But when I drove it, I was really surprised... at how familiar, not necessarily in a good way, it all felt. It really felt like a 458.
But that's the DNA for our Ferrari, mate.
Go with me here.
I'm not going with you. That's the DNA of Ferrari. They're supposed to be familiar.
Sure.
Right.
But this was too familiar. This was a 458.
Not special enough, you're saying.
Yeah, when you step on it and when you really open it up, you then go, oh wait, V12, lots of power. Oh, hold on a sec, I'm going sideways at 40 miles an hour. Like, it can remind you, but fundamentally, it's just got something a bit 458 about it, which is where Enzo doesn't feel anything like a 430 or a 599.
No.
So that's what I'm trying to say. I think LAF, as I say, I would love a LAF. It's going in the collection if I win the Euro Millions, etc. But Chiron, yes, it's got elements of Bentley. I like that because you know me. It's a grand tourer. It's comfortable at most of the times. It's elegant. It's stylish. But it feels like you want a Bugatti to feel. You step inside and it feels completely different. Okay, fine. Maybe you could say that stalk is similar to the Bentley one, but very minimalistic in interior. All these sort of weird futuristic dials and things like that. And because of what Veyron represented, and now what Chiron Supersport 300, etc., whatever, has done, it's got a real like, oh my God, I'm in a Bugatti. I mean, everything feels money, as it should.
Mm.
The reception you get, the badges, like it's completely like, it's an achievement. You've unlocked a level in life which very few people get to access. Rolls Royce, dime a dozen. You can go and rent one in every city around the world these days for not a huge amount of money. Yeah, they're in every single music video, whatever. LaFerrari's, yes, okay, fine. But I reckon I've seen more LAFs on the road than I've seen Chirons. There's just something about Bugatti, which, as I say, is such a... The money, the wealth, the decision to buy that car over four different ones, or yes, a LAF, or P1, or a 918, or whatever, you're really saying, I want the phantom long wheelbase in an exclusive paint. You know what I mean? Like,
well, sort of, but I think that some of these brands exist, Koenigsegg, Pagani, Bugatti, I think they exist because people can't have access to the real special Ferraris, you know? So I think in general, I think, to get a LAF Aperta, mate, I mean, it was 150 cars or however many there were. There wasn't many. I mean, how much more exclusive can you get than that?
I agree. Like, I've said that about Koenigsegg and Pagani before, 100%. I think a bigger part of their appeal or the new cult status they have had been created is because of that. Bugatti, I think, different.
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely have a Bugatti over a Koenigsegg or a Huayra, for sure, hands down, 100%. And I think them three, they all compete with each other. As a brand, I don't think anyone competes with Ferrari at all. They can try.
I
think Ferrari are on their own. And like, with a LAF, it's a LAF, that's it. Mm. There's no other configurations of it. With a Chiron.
It's the only car they make, though, mate.
It's the only car they make. Yeah, but it's the Volkswagen Group. So, you know, how many cars can Bugatti make? I mean, you know, if they start making SUVs, they're going to ruin their brand. So, you know, it is special because they just make a Chiron and they just made a Veyron before. So it is really exclusive and special. And I get it. And I'd love to own one. But if someone said to me, there's a LAF there at £2 million, and there's a Chiron there at £2 million. Which one do you want? I'd have the LAF. I genuinely would have the LAF, especially if it's a Aperta as well.
I understand that because also traditionally, at least until we saw that Harry's Garage video with which one did he drive? The Grand Sport, the Pure Sport. Anyway,
well, there's so many of them.
Yeah, there's many iterations.
Yeah.
They're not traditionally driver's cars in the sense of dynamic. They're not there to attack a track. They're not necessarily there. They're grand tourers. They're cars that you can theoretically live with. They are just, machine engineered to perfection. You know, engineered to a level which, and that was Bugatti's identity.
Like a Bentley, mate.
Yeah, but to another level. You know, Bugatti always went out to be the best of the best.
Correct.
To create the absolute ultimate, the epitome of automotive perfection. And that was from back in the early 1900s. Even the EB110 was trying to recreate that. And then with the Veyron and the Chiron.
Yeah. The Concorde of the airline.
Exactly. Yeah. 1,000,000%. They are the Concorde. So, yes, if you are a Ferrari fan, as we are, if you want to attack a track, a canyon, like, if you want everything, LAF and LAF Aperta are there. But I just think the Chiron says something different about who you are. That's why I like it, because I disagree that you're buying it because you can't get a laugh. I think you're making the choice to not have a Ferrari.
Or you have got the Ferrari.
You want the Chiron as well. But you know what I mean? Like it's an act, that's who I want to be. That's the life I want to have. That's how I represent myself, is not by having the dynamic, crazy, hardcore, loud, shouty Ferrari or Lamborghini or whatever. It's the Bugatti.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another reason why I'd have the Ferrari as well. When you go back a generation, and I actually went on a road trip with both these cars at the same time, because both my pals, one of them had an Enzo and one of them had a Veyron at the same time, and they bring them on a trip. And I would have had the Enzo over the Veyron. And the Veyron was, I could not believe, at the time I had my Perf.
Okay.
Which you'd say is a
Huracan Performante.
Fast supercar, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, especially at the time, it was the car to have. And I could not believe, I mean, the Veyron being 10 or 15 years old, by the way, I could not believe how fast it drove off.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is honestly like, it was like I was in a Ford Fiesta.
It's a freight train.
It honestly, mate, it just sodded off. And like, not even, it's not an exaggeration, it just drove off.
The guy was probably eating a sandwich and sending some emails at the time.
He was cruising.
Yeah, he wouldn't even have known.
No. Yeah. He was cruising. But like he said, like, you can't hear nothing. There's no real feeling. Whereas in an Enzo or a LAF, the only time you think it's an absolute masterpiece, one of them Chirons or a Veyron, is when you're doing 200 mile an hour, because it's unprecedented. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you sit at 200 mile an hour and you could whisper to your passenger. You can't do that in a LAF. I mean, you're doing well to do 200 mile an hour in a RAF because you'd be scared. You know what I mean? So from that point of view, I completely understand, but I'm not sure you're going to quite get that feeling that you'd get from a Ferrari. We both know that there's a warm sense and feeling driving a Ferrari at 20 mile an hour. Doesn't matter what Ferrari it is.
When you see that prancing horse staring at you,
sit in the car and you just drive down the road. You've not got to go fast. There's nothing else like it, and we know that. So a lot of these cars, and again, we've said it before, especially with modern stuff. I don't know, I really like modern stuff, but a Veyron is so perfect and so good that maybe for that reason it's not so good.
I see what you're saying. I think where I would argue is that the true test of any exclusive hypercar, Casino Square in Monaco.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, getting into or out of or parking up your Chiron in that kind of environment, let alone outside Sainsbury's in Hounslow, it is an incredible feeling. The newest of the new, the money, the wealth, the what it suggests about you as an individual. Like it is a showpiece. And people see the Bugatti name and they go, oh my God, that person is insanely rich.
Yeah.
Ferrari is Ferrari. You're right. There's no, you can't fight that brand. It's a Nike, it's a Coca-Cola. It's one of the most famous brands in the world. But Bugatti just says money. I think people don't necessarily know or care about the car. It just screams wealth.
And you know what else does that at a budget? The Aventador.
Yeah, you're right. I would say.
Yeah, if you get out of Aventador anywhere in the world, you pull up somewhere.
Three hookers come running.
No. Mate, you cannot get away from the attention that you get from an Aventador. I mean, I can't think, unless you go like real special, at that supercar level, if you want attention, even like to Senna and stuff, that money, I think like if you're in a Roadster SVJ, I don't think there's many cars that get the attention that car, it is like an iconic, it's a pile of shit.
Mate, in 20 years time or 30 years time, Aventadors, bog standard Gen 1 Aventadors will be 800, 900 grand. Mark my word right now.
Really?
Yeah, because that car. Well, let's see what the world's going to be like in 20 or 30 years. We might all be underwater.
Won't be able to fuel it.
Exactly. We won't be able to drive it because we're submerged. That car is such a poster car for our generation. Not even as a car guy. Mm. You're not even a petrol head.
No.
You're not a lady who loves cars. You just are aware of being alive.
Yeah.
You want an Aventador.
Yeah.
Because popular culture has made that the status symbol, the car to have.
Yeah.
For 15 years. No, when did it come out?
20, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 15 years?
Yeah, yeah. 2009, so nearly.
So when people who are my age or even 10 years younger start to make their money at 50 years old, they're still going to want Aventadors.
2011, actually.
2011.
But yeah, whatever. So, it's 10 years old.
10 years old.
Yeah. 11 years old, whatever.
So you know, and you have to, that is how cars inherently gain value, if you look at it. And so because of its position in popular culture and because of the sort of, as you say, the attention it gets, this, the Countach hasn't really done it, the Diablo hasn't really done it, but the Aventador, I think, is another level of popularity.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that, yes, you get that. You do get that from a Chiron, but you can equally, the Aventador is a really good example of just wealth. Mm-hmm, and because the general person in the street, like you said, they don't have to like cars. Wherever we go, and my mate's in his SVJ or an Aventador, and there's always six or seven of us in all modern supercars, they always gravitate to the Aventador. Yeah. They don't look at anything else. And it's horrible.
Mate,
you know what I mean?
It was the same with my Alfa Romeo 4C.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why did they look at it? Because it was on fire most of the time.
It was never on fire.
It had a van in the side of it.
Jokes aside, I said that because I thought it was going to get a reaction out of you, but it would actually genuinely happen. You know, even when we were in supercar convoys, you know, when I did that trip with Shmi and that lot, people couldn't believe how much attention that car got. Mm. Like at the time, it was brand new and people didn't really see it. But it's an eye-catcher. It is one of those cars that gets a lot of attention. But you're right, Aventador gets it. And I see what you're trying to say is that, you know, if that's all that Bugatti's giving you, it's nothing compared to what a LAF can give you, sure. Yeah. But for me, I've always loved a Chiron. The Supersport is, at the moment, their fastest iteration, I think. It's not the 300 special edition that I'm driving. It's just their standard Supersport, theoretically. But I can't wait. I literally can't wait. It's not very often you get the chance to drive a Chiron.
No way.
Last drove one in 2019. So yeah, it will be a fantastic moment and I cannot wait for that trip. So I'm headed to the airport straight after this, which should be exciting. It's actually leading up to a month or two of mega trips on the main channel. So yeah, off to do that. There's a very special or very cool video going live after that, which I actually filmed a few weeks ago, which I cannot say a word about. I think I already mentioned, didn't I tease that I did something which I can't talk about because I'm going to get sued if I do?
Tease to me?
Maybe I did it on the After the Checkered Flag podcast. Anyway, that video is coming soon. Stay tuned. Oh. It's in the desert. That's all I'm going to say. Ooh.
Oh, I knew you went. Know that one.
Then off to Tenerife in the 360. Then I'm off to Canada. Got some cool stuff lined up. Then I come back and it's Mille Miglia.
Oh my God.
Amazing. Then it's the British Grand Prix. It's Goodwood Festival of Speed. Then it's our live shows.
You're going to Monaco?
I don't think I am.
Oh, right.
I don't think I am.
That's soon, isn't it?
That's very soon. That's actually it's coming up.
Couple of races
end
time.
End of May.
Yeah.
Right. And then end of July, I'm just putting plans in place for a big Euro trip in the new car.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I might come and join you.
You will.
I will, yeah.
Now, very quickly, before we wrap up today's episode, I wanted to catch up with our patrons. We love our patrons. Support this podcast every single month. They're absolute legends for doing so. And they've been suggesting a few topics, a few things that they wanted us to discuss. So I thought we would just skim through and see what might be coming through. Max Millam said, you know, this might be more of a full episode, but I'd love you to revisit your dream garages, especially with the amount of cars that have come out since we last did this. Probably is a future episode that we need to do because we did it a few years ago now. But what I'll do is I'll ask you the one car. If you had limitless money right now, what would you be going with? What would you go out and buy tomorrow?
Laugh.
That would be your go-to.
I think so, dream car. I mean, Enzo would be right up there as well. But if it's something to just look at, Enzo, if it's something to buy to drive, it'd be a Laugh.
Okay.
A Perter.
Laugh Aperta.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Red?
Who cares? I might have a black one, actually.
Yeah. It would suit you, actually.
I'm a bit fed up with red Ferraris.
All right, chill out.
I mean, I've had quite a few.
Yeah, they're quite nice, though, with the tan interior, aren't they?
What, the repainted ones?
I would have the GTO Engineering 250 short wheelbase revival.
Another Ferrari?
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So Bugatti's not on your list after you spent 10 minutes defending them. We've both gone
Ferrari. No, I just said why I like a Chiron, but I didn't... Move on. Kieran, biggest successes and failures as a YouTube? Well, that's definitely more of a YouTuber. So that's more of a me question than a you question. Business success, driving a Formula One car.
A restricted one.
Failure.
30%.
When did you drive a Formula One car, mate?
I don't care. I want the full fat one or not at all.
I did drive a full fat one.
It was restricted.
I'm not getting to this. failures, having Tony as a co-host of this podcast and the smoothie challenge with Seb Delaney. Only OG subscribers will remember that.
There's only two or three. There must be more than that, mate.
Yeah, surely. But we're rattling these three. That's a whole episode,
fine.
Isn't it?
Fine.
And we bore the hell out of everyone.
Yeah.
Audi RS6 is another. Ollie Maslin. Hi, Sam and Tony. What about resto mods? Ones you like, what you think about them, best road trip. Okay, Ollie, you've submitted about 13 questions. Resto mods?
No.
Yeah, have you not come around to them at all?
No.
Really? Why not?
Not one. Because I don't like them.
But it's taking an old car and then making it reliable and modern. What about a Singer?
No.
Really?
I appreciate a Singer.
What's wrong with a Singer?
There's nothing wrong with it, mate. If that's what you want to buy, no problem. I don't want one. But not interested.
But it's basically brand new. It's not going to break. You're going to be able to absolutely attack the road.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like...
Yeah, and it's 600 grand or 700 grand.
Sure, level. Okay, that's a joke, but...
It's a joke. No, thank you.
Just for the... If it was 150 grand.
But it's not 150
If it
grand,
was.
But it can't be...
If it was.
It cannot be. You can't put money in, then take it out again, because that's... Resto mod cars are very expensive because it's not mass produced. Because they've got to get their money back.
Well, because they all go too far. You can do a resto mod without doing 400 grand per car.
Well, you've tried it on your car. How are you getting on?
Which one?
Your 360.
That's not a resto mod, mate.
Well, you basically rebuilt it.
No, I haven't.
Really?
Oh, you're so... I can't bear this argumentative side of you. I haven't got time. I've got to get to the airport.
I've got to go to Canada or wherever he's going.
Edward Tange. How would you change the way EVs drive? Don't say put an engine in there.
Yeah.
I saw it. I saw it. I can see your brain ticking.
Put an engine and a gearbox in. Perfect.
Gearbox. That's what I would do. I would synthesize gear changes.
Would you?
Yep. I think that would help. I think it would make it feel more dynamic. I think you would feel like you're progressing more. Even though in gearboxed cars, they're engineering out the feel of changing gear. If you think about a turbo S, you don't notice the gears are changing.
Yeah, seamless.
But that's what I would do. What would you do?
Put an engine and gearbox in.
Okay. Mo Bella, you're asking for this. Tony, thoughts on the Caterham 7?
No, thank you. For being polite.
Is that a crash?
Well, I mean, people race them.
People do race them.
I mean, that is death.
I love them, actually. No, I do love them, but I would never own one.
No,
I do
love them. I mean, I've seen many of them batting around on track days and gone past them all and think, flipping hell, you are brave in that car. You know, you roll it, you go in the cat litter and you roll it and you come out and you've got an air ambulance, you're in trouble. And mate, honestly.
It's like motorbikers,
similar. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, you've got a little bit of tin round you, but in general, you're going to fall out. No, thank you.
There's two times I've wanted a Caterham. One was when they lent me that 620R thing and it was just hilariously stupid. That felt like a superbike with four wheels.
Yeah.
But the only other time is years ago, I was driving through Putney and David Gandy came flying up the high street the other way, like an all black Caterham, I don't know what it would have been, like something fully specced out,
airy.
With his glasses on, looking all modelly, and I was like, "Ah, sick,
yeah,
that's sick."
Yeah,
Oliver Maycock, we're going to end with your question. Simple question, he says, "What car do you hate the most, and why?"
What car do I hate the most? Flipping hell,
that's a big one. What car do you hate? I'm struggling a little bit there too. I'm going to keep...
I'll tell you what's right up there.
Go on.
DB7.
DB7?
That is a full-on, especially the one with the Jag engine, that is a full-on pile of poo.
I think they're like 10 grand now.
Mate, honestly, that is...
Disaster.
I mean, there's loads, mate.
Yeah.
But I hate that car.
See, I don't know if anybody calls that I like hate. Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
It's quite a hard. There must be.
You've got to say one, man.
I know, I'm racking my. But I like cars, is the problem. Like, I really like cars.
So do I.
But, no, you don't. You pretend to for your business. Hold on. Oh, come on. Help me out. What have I come back and said to you? Oh, that's a load of crap. There must be some things that I've said to you.
LP640.
Yeah, no, but I sort of, because I enjoyed that manual a bit. There's been cars that I haven't liked.
Yeah. Most of them you've owned. Yeah.
I actually cannot think of a car that I hate. I've been through, I still hate, this is, I'll come out and say it, I still hate the old M4.
Okay.
Still hate that
the,
car.
The outgoing one. As in, you know, 2016 car.
Yeah. The one that on YouTube I continuously declared I hated. I still hate it today. Okay. Anyway, so we'll leave it on that. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. I've really enjoyed it. It's a nice casual catch up.
Yeah.
Chatting cars and talking about how car life is pretty good in the UK.
It's an hour.
It was just about.
Good.
We're getting there. So yeah, I hope you're all out there as well enjoying car life. I hope you've been attending some cool events, enjoying the weather. Long may it continue here in the UK, but wherever you are in the world, fingers crossed, stuff is starting to happening in the automotive world. May, stuff does start to pick up.
We said anything controversial today?
I'm sure we did, but you know, I've forgotten now.
Well, it's a shame.
What do you mean it's a shame? No, we have, don't worry.
Oh, good.
It's not our weekly task to say something controversial.
Well, it's mine.
Sometimes I'm going to say stuff that's nice. Yes, it's always trying to get me in trouble, trying to get me sued. Anyway, yeah, one more reminder. A handful of tickets remaining for our Behind the Glass Live podcast event. Head over to seenthroughglass.online. Go to the event section. Subscribe to this YouTube channel if you're watching us. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss future episodes. If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Growald Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass on most social media platforms, and we'll be back with you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.